telling people, hey, revolution rising. Yeah, yeah. Proof. Yes. Watch out. Yeah. Giving us the run around. They're giving us the run around.
Electronic composer and producer Andrea Benigni presents Caribbean lyricist and poet Anthony Joseph, and you heard the telltale sound of trombonist Fred Wesley in the background. Fred Wesley, he of the late James Brown's band, and this is titled Run Around. It's from their 2013 album, Isle of Magic. This is Lead Stories. I'm Utrecht Fleet. And you know, every now and then, my psychic powers come into play. And today is such a day. Yesterday also was such a day when I started talking about what's the plan. What is the plan? And it was in the context of the other national emergency that no one is talking about. And lo and behold, somebody started talking about it today. This very day, a group of African-American leaders of major organizations nationwide descended on Washington demanding some answers about where is the help for the African American community that is supposed to be part of this money, this waterfall of money coming in to help people, to help restore people's lives after the corona virus. And it was almost as if they were listening to me yesterday, because the question I raised in particular was not just where's the money coming from, but at what expense. Who is going to pay for all of these projects that suddenly are in play? And according to Steve Mnuchin, the Secretary of the Treasury, it would be, at least this is what he's thinking, it could go higher, it could be fixed, if people are a little upset, $850 billion. He is prepared to allocate right now to help communities impacted by the coronavirus. But he says this is immediately, right away. This is the White House's economic stimulus plan. to deal with the fallout from the crisis. Nobody in the United States of America, nobody else, has a need for an economic stimulus plan. But they know which communities they're aiming at. I said it yesterday. Those are the priority communities, as far as Trump and his administration are concerned. He's quoted, Mnuchin is quoted as saying, the administration is looking at sending checks to Americans immediately. Not all Americans. They're not concerned about all Americans. And that was the answer to the question, we got it today. Where is the money going to come from? Where is it going to go? So these leaders still meeting in Washington, D.C. now, at this very moment, are insisting on racial equality and equanimity in all things having to do with the administration's response to the crisis here at home. But they forgot this administration has a whole different definition of who matters and who does not matter. The communities they represent don't matter. We'll talk about what we do to help the airline industry, how to help restaurants, how to revitalize hotels, and this is the kind of stuff they're interested in. The already battered urban communities, and that's a word to signify, I'm talking about black and brown communities all over the country that already have bitten the dust with this administration. Things that were supposed to be in place have not been in place for years. And that's where the money's coming from. You have to go down to Washington and tell a big old 70-odd-year-old man to behave himself. Do the right thing. The same man has no problem recognizing who really needs help. And that's what I was talking about yesterday. Just yesterday and today, the big news from Steve Mnuchin, Secretary of the Treasury, the guy who's opening the doors. Let's make these people, meeting our people, let's make them whole. Let's put money back in their pockets. Let's revitalize their communities. Let's save their businesses. Let's do whatever we have to do to bring their communities and their lives back to normal as soon as possible. No black folks anywhere to be seen as this matter is being discussed. But they're there today. In fact, I was expecting a call from one of them who promised he would leave the meeting just to let us know what was going on. But you see, I'm not crazy. I just look it, but I really am not crazy. I know how these folks work and how this particular president works. And there should be no aid going anywhere until the aid package is inspected closely and is found to be fair. Because this is going to be a problem. $850 billion. That's where they're starting off. That's not the whole package. That's what is, in their view, needed right now to get things back on track. And none other than the Secretary of the Treasury, of course, he's Trump's guy, is making the case that this money ought to be allocated right away. All right. You can't get a better or clearer statement than that. The rest of the people that they don't need to pay attention to can all go to hell as far as they're concerned. Don't bring that equal opportunity language here to us. We are not interested in that. They won't vote for us. They didn't the first time. And we are not going to spend a penny in their communities. We're not going to help them. In fact, we don't even recognize them as Americans. You see, just yesterday, and I have to thank the Lord for allowing me to see these things ahead of time, so that we can now zoom in and discuss it. And more than that, mobilize our communities around this. This is wrong. And they're conceding from point zero. This is just to get things started. There's a lot more money we're going to throw out there. How are people going to live without their delicatessens and their restaurants and their high-end dining? We got to get these things right. We have to make them feel assured that their quality of life is at the top of our list of things to take care of. And this is only the first part of the 1-2 punch. You refuse to be fair about distributing help. The communities that are already reeling, even before the coronavirus hit, they were dealing with a virus of their own. Neglect, absolute disrespect from this administration, as well as others. Trump isn't talking about rebuilding these communities and using the money to build usable, affordable housing, safe housing. They're not talking about schools. They're not talking about minimum wage jobs, many of which no longer exist. They took that too. And that's what I asked yesterday. Where is the money going to come from? That's where it's coming from. That's where they plan for it to come from. They take from Peter and they give to Paul. But Peter will have not just a little bit, Peter would have nothing. Because this crisis allows the administration to do something it has been wanting to do for a long time. Make the poor people, especially people of color, make them all invisible. Get them out of our sight. What's next is you disembowel them and their communities. You take the communities back. You take their land. You take their homes. You drive them probably into the sea. So they have no real means of existence. The little that they have, you take it from them. You cut social services that literally are keeping them alive. This is the time to do it. They're down. This is the time to make sure they're also out. Down and out. You think these people are playing? You think there will be processes and procedures that would shape their approach to everything? They have no soul. They're not interested in processes or procedures. They have a plan. They'll take your land in the city, which cities are becoming so crowded now. It's a perfect time to take their land and the little piece of house that they have on it. Make it impossible for them to hold on. And you dig an even deeper trench between and among Americans. You think I'm kidding? In this time, this is the perfect time to get all these nefarious ideas executed. That's where the money, the $850 billion, it's not going to all Americans. You'd be crazy if you thought that. This is the time when people are down, especially the people you can't stand. You hate them. They're already down. You just give them that extra push to make sure that they're out. Down and then out. Don't be fooled by any of these things that are happening. You notice it didn't come up as an argument in Congress. Nancy Pelosi, the great Democratic leader, hasn't said boo. Joe Biden, who just was brought back to life on the basis of the black vote, hasn't said squat. All of these people have become silent. But they still expect the black vote. They still want us to believe that that part of the 60s has remained with them, where they are concerned with their fellow American. and how liberal they are. This is not about liberalism, not now. This is eradicating people and making it look as a natural consequence of things. That's why I asked the question yesterday, where is the money coming from? Where is it going? You're telling me $850 billion you're about to give away, and nobody has seen what the plan is? Nobody has any idea where the money is going? No. We may be crazy, but not that crazy. We know, because we have a history of experience in these things. We know. And that is the major issue. That is the big secret that they can take care of. That's the business they can take care of in this climate. And by the way, let us not forget, this isn't just free money. People of color have a lot to say about that. Even if they don't earn on a parity basis the same salaries that whites earn in this country, they still pay taxes. This is saying, you ain't getting anything back. And people were being casual. I said, how is it nobody's raising this question when it is so clear that this is how Trump and his administration intend to put their plan into action? In an environment when everybody would say, well, you know, they're doing something, they're trying to help. Is this help? Is this the help we need? Nobody in Congress has seen it. Nobody has an idea of what your so-called plan calls for. Not even the Democratic leadership is saying, well, wait a minute. Of course we want to help everybody, but let's check out your plan. Let's even see if it's legal. Let's see if it honors our tradition, even if, of course, we know about that tradition, of making sure that it's for everybody. And now they will make you feel like something is wrong with you because you're asking these questions. You are the one who hates your fellow Americans. You are the one trivializing the moment. You are the one who should be on your feet clapping and praising the Trump administration for responding so quickly and so generously in this awful time of need. This has nothing to do with need. This has to do with their agenda. The real estate industry is going to zoom in after they get all the black folks out, all the Latinos, all the poor whites, get them out. Take the land, reconfigure it. Next thing you know, you have an example of a fantastic city. This is what it should have been all along. Trust me, that's where it's going. I asked you, where is this money to come from. That's where it's coming from. Depriving people, deceiving people, taking from them barely the things that they barely have, reallocating, transferring their poverty, their wealth of poverty, into American wealth for the wealthy, for the white wealthy. Tell me I'm lying. You just tell me I'm lying and I'm not making sense. We'll take this break and then you can tell me that. Okay? At 888-874-4888. Right after this.
The truth lies between the lines, but you gotta be quick to catch it. But when you think that you understand, and you think that you really know what's going on, let me tell you, they're giving us the runaround. They're giving us the runaround. They're giving us the runaround.
You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead. I would ask you the favor of passing the word in your circles of the station. Let people know about it. Let people know that you listen religiously to this station. That's why you always have answers when people around you don't seem to have answers. All right. So, yesterday I asked a question. Today we got one heck of a hint as to the answer. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. We start in Alabama. Everlasting, you're on the air.
Who did you say, Retreats? I didn't hear you.
Hello.
Yes. Hi, Retreats. How you doing?
I'm okay. I'm hanging in.
Okay, me too. I stand firm with everything you were saying. I can't go against anything that you said. But yesterday I tried to call in because I had a answer to your question yesterday. Okay. About the money. Yeah.
You had now, it yesterday.
Yeah, we all know that, you know, where they every time something like this happens, who has to pay for it, okay? But we don't have to continue accepting and being a doormat for these people, okay? And here's how they can do. See, even the $850 billion that they allocate, they're supposed to be trying to allocate. They don't even have to go here. They don't have to go here. They can hold off on that because here's where the money can come from. Okay, you have $15 trillion sitting overseas in these secret accounts from all these Fortune 500 companies, all these rich people, and it's been there for years. A lot of that money came out of our pockets because we purchased a lot of those things that these corporations, companies, got that money over here that hasn't even been taxed. Okay, we're not talking about the assets they have over here. We're just talking about these offshore accounts, Cayman Islands, all that. Matter of fact, in the 80s, I saw a thing on a segment on 60 Minutes about that. So this has been going on for years. So Trump and all his buddies, they know about this in these people. So here's what he can do. I'm just saying, this is my thing. Here's what he can do. He tells his buddies, okay, it's a national emergency. I know y'all are getting upset. You got $15 trillion over there, okay? So you're supposed to have been taxing it from before at 35%, but we're going to take the 2017 tax break that he gave you, and we're going to tax you 20%. So I'm a little slow, you tree, so you just help me out with the numbers here, okay, because I'm a little slow.
Oh, don't look to me for numbers.
Excuse me? What did you say?
To give me the right numbers.
Yeah. So 20% of $15 trillion is $3 trillion, okay? If you tax that, the 2017 tax cut that they were been supposed to be at the 35%. Okay, so now this is what he can do. He, you know, that's his buddies, you know, Papa Trump. He's such a great businessman. Oh, he's the best businessman in the world. So he can tell his buddies, well, look at here. Well, I'm going to give you a little deal. We'll just take $1.5 trillion of that. And the other $1.5 trillion out of the three, we'll put that in escrow. We'll just start off with the $1.5 trillion, okay? So that there can not only take care of a lot of the stuff that we need for this emergency, but like you were saying before, that also can help people, including us black people, with some resources they need at this time here where they're losing their jobs and their income is back, that they can start off right there. And then if that runs out, okay, if it doesn't run out, rather, then you can go ahead and say, look, if we're going to put the 1.5, we've got $13.5 trillion. Oh, we know you're going to be upset. We know you're going to be mad, but why do we care? When it can't be no more madder than us, you treats, okay, all the stuff we've been going through. But I'm just saying, that's realistically where the money's there right now. You don't have to discuss this in Washington, D.C. about the $850 billion. You can discuss that later. That's money that's there right now, you treats.
Well, here's the thing. You're presuming that logic is supposed to prevail. There's no logic to what they do.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that where the money could be. I know what you're saying. You're right. I know they're not. You know, they don't act logically. But I'm just saying, if you want to talk about where the money, there it is, right there. Okay, but we understand their logic. You know, but go ahead.
No, what we need to have open hearings about where the money is. Where is America's money right now?
Right.
And how much is there? Wherever there is. How is it that $850 billion could not be found to build affordable housing, to build new schools and hospitals, but you can have it right now to save the airlines,
right?
To save high-end restaurants,
right?
You got money now to do all the things you want and choose to do. So
yeah,
this sounds to me like a need for a criminal investigation into how this particular administration, and we know it's greedy, we know it has no respect for the law.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have that.
But here's the thing, like you
said
before,
we need to have that.
What are we going to do as people to even try to afford? Now, I'm not allocating anything over the phone, where there's a lot of things you can't talk about here because we have to talk. But at some point, it has to be one thing or the other. We're either going to have to, this is what we have to talk about. Some, if they're not going to do anything, we know what we need to have, they're not going to do it. So we're going to either have to force, something has to give.
It has to happen at all these different levels. We just came through a couple of primaries, all of it based on black support. All of it based on bringing Joe Biden through. He hasn't said a word. And nobody has compelled him to say a word, to answer these questions.
See, that's part of my point. At some point, we should have known that anyway. Even if we brought him through or we thought he was going to do something, we know that they haven't been, they're not. So at some point, like I'm saying, this is what we have to come together and discuss. I can't give a one answer. Nobody can get no one. This is where they have to come together and discuss. If we can't come to agreement one time, we have to keep going back till we come up with something that's viable for all of us. But to keep just thinking that these people, we're going to support them, they're just not going to do it. You see what they're about. So at some point, we have to do something. That's what we have to discuss.
We've been living with the coronavirus for a long time.
Right, right.
It's literal now, but we have been living it one way or the other for a long time. Thanks for getting us started today.
Okay.
Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Should I say how are you? You sound like you're a little steamed up over there. We're all steamed up. I just got back from the bank and I was steamed up. Because I feel really, really nervous. Because I think Naomi Klein calls this disaster capitalism, and there's all kind of vultures flying overhead. And so I'm pretty sure they know what they're doing. And it just seems, I don't know, it just, the whole thing doesn't sit well with me. And no, I don't know where the money is going to come from. I'm pretty sure it's going to come from me and you, but I'll tell you where it might come from, and this is what's really making me nervous, and a lot of people don't know about this. My understanding is that during the Obama administration and after the bailing out of Wall Street, the legislation, our laws were changed, and they were changed to a similar type of law that they have in Greece. And that is that you and I are no longer customers of the bank. We are partners with the bank. And when the bank needs to make themselves whole, they will be able to dip into your account to make themselves whole. And several economists have talked about this. I think even Jack Rasmus talked about this on his program. So I believe that the final kick in the you-know-whats will be when they come to liquidate our accounts and our money. That's one way I think they might try to make the banks whole again. And I feel very nervous about that, and, of course, really nervous about Wall Street. But I also want to say, I want to point out something today, is that today is, there's three primaries going on. Two of them were set back, but there are three primaries. And, you know, it seems like no matter what I say to people, they want to go on the coattails of the rich. And so everybody's going to go on the coattails of Biden, or maybe it won't happen that way, but because most young people, and there's still, I will not say that blacks are giving Biden a blanket pass. We don't even know. I find it very hard to believe that a person did not campaign in like seven of those states, didn't even have an office there. I find that very, very hard to believe that he won in a resounding way. And not just that, we haven't talked about the voter suppression. The Democrats are using the exact same. The Democrats are using the exact same techniques as they accuse the Republicans. Why was anybody waiting in line in Texas to vote? Why did that happen? And by the way, there were still people waiting in line to vote when they closed the polls down that day. And, you know, Bernie was on the debate the other night, and I had an up-close and real situation happen to me right after the debate. My father had a slight heart attack over the weekend. My dad's 97, but he's in pretty good shape. But anyway, I had the ambulance come. They took him to the hospital. And the next day, I was surprised when I went to the hospital to see that he was sitting on the bed. They had his papers all ready. They dressed him, and obviously they wanted him out of there. But I had asked when we got to the hospital if they would do an echogram. And the next day I asked the nurse, I said, did you do an echogram? And she said, no. And I said, why? And she said, because he had one in October. I said, listen, we're talking about a heart attack here. Are you kidding me? You didn't do an echogram? Well, they didn't do an echogram because of his insurance. So if you have a heart attack, even if you have a heart attack, if the insurance doesn't add up so you can go ahead and have one, then no one is actually going to do a proper diagnosis. And by the way, at the same hospital the night before when I went through, there were many old people in the beds, and they were hacking their heads off. None of the nurses were wearing any protective gear. And I had said, I want to take my father out early tomorrow because I'm afraid of the virus. And she said, oh, there's no virus here. Now, this is Burdett Hospital outside of Cape May. It's a small hospital. But nonetheless, they have no kits. So they didn't know whether they had the virus or anybody else had it either. So they were just winging it. And that's sort of like how we're, I guess everybody's just going by the seat of their pants on this. But, you know, I just want to remind people that I don't think we should just keep saying, because everyone in my neighborhood that I've spoken to who lives in the projects is not only voting for Bernie, they love Bernie, but they're also not going to vote at all if Bernie doesn't make it onto the ticket. That's it. And I think the reason why is because I think the Democratic Party continues to tell us that we have to take whatever the people at the higher echelon say we have to take. And there are two wings of the Democratic Party. There are the FDR Democrats like myself who believe in the New Deal, and then there's the Clinton Democrats. This is a different kind of Democrat. This is a Democrat that cares about what happens on Wall Street and the banks and getting rid of all of the protective measures that were put in place by President Roosevelt. And this is what Bernie is doing. He's trying to continue the New Deal. So all I'm saying to you is I wouldn't believe everything the propaganda says, okay? I don't believe people are running around with no common sense in their head, and they're not thinking about the candidate that is the best for them. So I'm just not sure how a candidate – by the way, I'm telling you something. I've run in a couple of campaigns, and I never heard of anybody winning anywhere that didn't show up.
We have to move on. We get your point. Thanks, Gwen, for calling in. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
tuned in late yesterday, but I wasn't able to get on. I have looked at this question that you asked, and it's very simple to me to answer that question. I want to get right to the point. If you want to find out who pays for whatever is going to be done and who doesn't pay, all one has to do is look at those people that infest the higher office in terms of the legislative branch, and look at who pays those fantastic donations to those people who do their bidding, and that will tell you who does not pay and who is not on that list. Those are the people who pay. So I want to just ask you, answer your question in a simple way. The ones at the top who pay those so-called campaign contributions of multi-millions and billions of dollars do not pay, and the masses of people, mostly in the 99% at the bottom, those are the people who pay.
All right. No disagreement there. Thank you so much for calling in, David. Good to hear from you. Jay from New York, you're on the air.
Lisa, I hope that you are well and that your listening audience is also doing well. You know,
Thank you. It
surprises me sometimes when I hear you go on your rants in regards to the unfairness in this country. But the thing is, this country doesn't care anything about poor people, people who are not of influence, who are not wealthy, who are basically, as one would say, the bottom feeders of the society. The objection of this president is to sustain and grow the empire. And he's going to do any and everything within his power to grow the empire at the expense of whoever. And the whoever's are people of color and poor white people. So, you know, it just puzzles me when I hear people question what these people are going to do. The thing that one should ask themselves is, what are they going to do to protect themselves under these type of crises? And then figure out how they can come together to punish these individuals who don't look out for their best interest. But no, the way this system is set up right now, he's going to take care of the airline industry. He's going to take care of the high-end restaurant industry. He's going to take care of the cruise ships if he can. And they're going to do it any way they have to. And unfortunately, we're not in no position to do anything about it. And let me say this. If Biden gets in the office, if Sanders gets in the office, they're going to do the same damn thing. Because it's their job to protect and grow the empire. So I'm not getting upset about this. I'm trying to sustain myself and my family. It's a dog-eat-dog world now. You understand what I'm saying? And it's not going to get no better. If anything, this thing is about to get far worse than one could imagine. And you could see it by this clown's behavior. If you see the way that he talks, he always talks about how to make the empire better, how the empire is strong, how the empire is going to recover, how the empire cannot be defeated. He never talks about or shows any compassion for everyday people. It's strictly about his friends, his cronies, his equals. So once you understand that, then you don't allow this stuff to interfere and place yourself in a panic and go all Google Gaga crazy over this. Because, first of all, he has your interests not at heart.
Nobody's going Google Gaga crazy. You know what we're doing, which is very rare? What we're doing is disassembling what we think we are seeing and getting closer to the truth of what we are seeing so that it in turn helps us come up with some kind of defense. We can't just let it go by and just chalk it up to, well, you know, this is predictable behavior. What we have to do is to say, what exactly am I observing and experiencing here? And what can I do?
People don't have that understanding. People don't have that type of a vision to what they're observing. They've never seen anything like this. They've never been exposed to anyone who, to be honest, gives you the ability to critically think. Why do you think the school system is the way that it is? It doesn't teach you how to be analytical. It doesn't teach you how to be critical. It doesn't teach you how to observe the things that they're doing to you. So most people don't understand. They think that this is just a norm. They don't.
Well, I don't believe most people don't understand it. I think most people haven't really taken the time to just study it and study the relationship between what you see happening out there and your own existence. What is happening with you? And sooner or later,
let me ask you this question.
We'll catch on.
Let me ask you.
Thanks a lot, Jay. Okay, make your point, but we gotta go.
What do you think people are thinking about right now?
I don't know. This is a question of my life. What are people thinking? What are we thinking? I think certain things are so apparent, so clear. But apparently not. The question I asked yesterday, I thought was so clear. Apparently not. Thanks. Good to hear from you, Jay. Bruce from New York, you're on the air.
Hello, Yutris.
Hello.
Hello, Yutris. Well, I totally agree with you, and what you're describing today falls well within an arc of what we call a disaster capitalism, if you will, that we see over and over again. I mean, you spend much time on this in this place talking about what has happened to Puerto Rico. I mean, this is just another continuation of that. I mean, we see this over and over again, how disasters are used in order to shift wealth inequalities further and further into the hands of the oligarchs. Yeah? And this will continue. They may give every household in this country $1,000 to blindfold us to the underlying realities that you are highlighting today. All right? And secondly, nobody has seemed to have connected that the oligarchs and Trump and the Trump administration could be benefiting on both sides of this issue. Meaning that I see reports in Chinese radio, a Chinese minister or deputy minister is saying that America has, that the Americans have the not patient or the first person, I can't remember the technical term, is not something, the first person to have this disease, right? And we know that there were military games, not war games, but football and stuff, being played in Wuhan a couple of weeks before this outbreak started, yeah? And that Trump, on the other side, could say that we'll have a cure for it in 3 months. It suggests to me that this might have been an intelligence program in order to avoid the rise of China as a power, yeah? So externally, that's what I am seeing. And internally, we have, I mean, whatever happens, Trump wins. I mean, he wins externally if it was successful. And he wins internally if he gets a 9/11 event here, similar, to be able to do what he really wants to do, as you're describing. So for him, this must be a win-win situation. And lastly, people who, if I'm right about this bio, and I don't believe that any of these diseases we have had in the last 40 or 50 years, whether it's AIDS or SARS or Ebola, you know, I believe that some type of shenanigans going on with this. I mean, you know, evolution doesn't work in that way. I mean, you know, it seems impossible to me, for an evolutionary process to occur where you can wipe out, you know, so many species without, you know, time for species to adapt to the new status quo. I mean, that seems to be against common sense and the laws of nature, right? So we have these viruses coming up all the time, you know, and we have to start to consider seriously. And I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist or investigator here, but we have to start thinking seriously as to whether these are constructs, you know, these are being used over and over again to serve the very interest who would benefit from having billions of dollars working poor people's money transferred at home to oligarchs.
Well, that was a lot to think about, but I'm glad that you put it out there for us to think about. Thanks a lot, Bruce, for your call. Is it Stephanie or Stefan?
It's Stephanie.
Okay, Stephanie from Indiana. You're on the air.
Thank you, Utrice, for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I always think about the great comedian George Carlin when he said, it's a club and we're not in it. I think the other thing that nobody wants to talk about is the F word in this country, and that's fascism. It's at a full out, it's playing full out in this country, and I think that's what we're really looking at. And I agree with your last caller, every type of crisis is going to be used to get closer and closer to a full out fascism. I remember in 2016 when Trump won, I was saying to people then that I would doubt very heavily if we had an election in 2020, okay? And that still lies to be seen because it depends about how long this virus lasts. You know, anything could be used, we have to postpone the national election, and then God knows when we ever get back to another election. And speaking about the election, I think the other part is people are still thinking, I just talked to a lot of people, and they're still thinking that an election is going to fix this, and it's like, we are way beyond that point where an election is going to fix this. And I think on a real level, a lot of us know this, but we just want to do hope against hope because we don't want to do what we know we are going to have to do if we're going to turn things around. I think all of these institutions are so corrupt, they're done, to speak about reform is not even realistic. So we're going to really have to do something on levels of general strikes, on levels of just that we haven't done before to really try to reverse things around, because we've sat for 40, 50 years and just continue to just hope things would get better. And here we are. And I think the door is closing on us. The door is closing. Maybe another two or three crises, and it's done. So that's all I have to say.
Well, thank you, Stephanie. Thanks so much. And welcome. I think this might be your first call, right?
This is my second call, actually, but it's been a while since I called. Thank you.
Okay. I'm so glad that you called again today. Thank you. And that brings us to the end of our program. We have to talk about these things in all its, you know, all dimensions of it, because there are many. What we shouldn't allow to happen is an easy escape on the part of those who are executing nefarious plans. We have to speak up. We have to do something, not just for ourselves, but we have generations coming behind us who need to have a leg up on these things. They need to know this system, how it works, how it thinks, how it moves, so that it gives it no quarter of credibility at all. That it is constantly under suspicion. And we see over and over again how correct a position that is. When you have a system that deliberately does things, but it does it uniformly, year after year after year, it is okay to use that model as saying, look, this is the way this government behaves. It's okay to form an opinion on the basis of repetitive behavior and action. But that doesn't mean that we sit down and let it happen. We constantly have to be vigilant. We constantly have to formulate some kind of plan that is directly related to our collective survival. And that's where we are right now. I want to thank you for calling in and contributing, especially at the level at which you contribute. It makes me very, very proud to be in your company. And let's hope that we can continue in this vein and get better and better at, you know, peeping the enemy, watching the enemy, looking at how they're behaving. And based on our constant analysis, we can predict how they will move, so that hopefully we will have an antidote. Thanks again. We'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.